It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Wisconsin and other parts of the country are getting another dose of winter ahead of schedule. We'll find out what's going on and whether a return to fall is ever in the cards. First, Governor Tony Evers announced last month that he was ordering a special session of the legislature in order for lawmakers to debate and vote on two new gun control measures. One of them would have expanded background checks to include most private gun sales in Wisconsin. The other would have established preventive red flag laws. Neither measure had a chance to be discussed as GOP lawmakers quickly adjourned the sessions in both the Assembly and Senate. Our next guest joins us to talk about the special session and gun-related issues here in the state. Attorney General Josh Call joins us now. Attorney General Call, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
What is your reaction, Attorney General Call, to these very brief special sessions on gun control in the legislature?
Well, it was disappointing to see that the Republicans in the legislature chose once again to fail to take this issue up. There's no question that we have a need for some common sense gun safety measures. We have all seen what's happened with mass shootings around the country. And that includes here in Wisconsin. There was a mass shooting in Oak Creek. Last year in Middleton, there were four people injured in a workplace shooting. Suicide is a significant problem, and a lot of suicides are committed with firearms. And gun violence generally is a problem. And what I've been calling for, what the governor was calling for, and what others have called for, is that the legislature start taking this issue seriously and debate these issues, have some hearings, and let's see where we can find some compromise.
Republicans in the legislature have said they're willing to talk about gun measures. They're advancing legislation on suicide prevention, just that these two particular laws don't fit into their agenda. Is there a case to be made there that the governor should have looked for places of common ground when advancing gun control legislation?
These two issues are both issues on which there's a very broad bipartisan agreement. About four out of five Wisconsinites support expanding background checks and support a red flag law. That includes a majority of gun owners. It includes a majority of Republicans. There's really broad support for these measures. And the Republicans not only haven't taken a vote on them, they haven't held a hearing. They haven't had a debate on them. What I am asking for and what we've asked for and what the special sessions I think were designed to do was to encourage some debate on these issues. If Republicans think we shouldn't move forward on these issues, let's hear why that is and let's hear the alternatives for how we can work to address gun safety. But so far they've just pretended like this is an issue that doesn't exist and tried to avoid it.
Here's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss speaking on Thursday on the Assembly floor about public opinion on these issues.
Now, I also hear our governor, as he called for the special session, saying over and over this 80% number. I guess he's going to change his mind now on saying we should detain people who are here illegally, because 66% of the people in Wisconsin do believe that. So if we now run our entire political system by a poll taken by somebody else, that's not what I thought a republic actually was. So the governor, unfortunately, is focused on polls and politics, not policy and progress.
So don't make these decisions based on polls, Assembly Speaker Voss saying there, Attorney General Call.
Well, if these were bad policies, that would be a reasonable position to take. But the fact of the matter is that the Republicans are refusing to debate them. And the reason they're refusing to debate them is because they're good policy. We have background checks already for the vast majority of firearm sales in Wisconsin. The Department of Justice, where I am, conducts a lot of those, and the federal government conducts a lot of them. But there's a loophole in state law that allows anybody, including somebody who's prohibited from possessing a firearm because they've committed a felony or because they have a domestic violence restraining order against them, for example, to purchase a gun through a private sale, and that includes an online sale, and to get a gun without going through a background check. And that's what happened before the Ozana Spa shooting in Brookfield. So there was a clear example of that here in Wisconsin. Likewise, red flag laws have been adopted in several states, including Indiana and Florida. And those laws give law enforcement officers a tool when somebody engages in the kind of conduct that we see before some of these tragedies, where they make threats or perhaps where they indicate that they're suicidal. This gives law enforcement a tool to intervene and potentially save lives. That's the debate that Republicans are avoiding right now, and that's the debate that I think we should have.
Talking to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call about gun legislation in Wisconsin. The governor called a special session of the legislature to deal with expanding background checks on firearm purchases and this red flag law. Lawmakers, Republican leaders of both chambers gaveled in and gaveled out without talking about those laws. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 on the idea of expanding background checks or red flag laws. I want to give one more listen to Assembly Speaker Voss talking here on Upfront with Adrian Peterson this weekend about the special session. He said Republicans here felt the laws being proposed were inherently anti-American. Here's a listen.
There are principles that we think are really important, and one of those is supporting the Second Amendment and making sure that if you're a legal gun owner, there should be no reason that you don't have the ability to have a firearm and defend yourselves. The very idea of a red flag is I have done nothing wrong, but because someone thinks I might, I have to surrender my weapon. That is not what America is about, so I can't see us ever compromising.
And that's a concern about red flag laws, that people can be deprived of a right, in this case, gun ownership, without due process. What do you say to that?
Well, first, on background checks, there's no Second Amendment argument whatsoever because, again, most firearm sales require a background check. This would just be expanding it so that we get rid of that loophole. On red flag laws, they have been challenged in three states, in Connecticut, in Indiana and in Florida. And in each of those cases, those laws were upheld. So they've been found to be constitutional. And the red flag law we have here in Wisconsin is modeled in part on other laws that we already have in place in Wisconsin, like domestic violence restraining orders. It's the same type of process, which is somebody needs to go to a judge and demonstrate that somebody presents a significant threat in the case of a domestic violence order, that there's a significant threat that they would commit an act of domestic violence. And in the case of a red flag law, it would be a significant threat that they would commit an act of violence with a firearm to themselves or to somebody else. So it's a process we already have in Wisconsin law. It's one that's been supported in other contexts. I think we need to move forward with it here to help save lives.
What steps are in place to protect due process if someone's firearms are taken away, they think unjustifiably, is there a recourse for them to go and ask the judge to change that decision?
Yes. Under the proposed red flag law, first of all, an order would have to be issued by a judge. So there would be a judge or a circuit court commissioner involved in the issuance of an order. There's also a limit on who can request that order. So it would either need to be requested by a law enforcement officer or by a family member or a household member. And then the initial order would be temporary. It would only last for up to 14 days. And then there would need to be a hearing. And at that hearing, and this is something else the speaker was incorrect about in his recent appearance on Upfront, the burden is not on the person whose firearm was taken. At that hearing, the burden is still on the person who's requesting the red flag order to show that that the order should be issued. And even if that order is issued, that then only lasts for up to a year. And the person whose firearms are at issue has the right to come back in and request that they have their rights fully restored during that one-year period. So there are a number of protections in place for lawful firearm owners here. And where the laws have been in place, they have been seemingly popular. They have remained in effect in all of the states where they've been passed. States haven't gone in the other direction.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jerry is with us in Racine. Jerry, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. In regards to your guest saying the majority are in support of red flag laws, I have yet to meet an individual who fully supports the red flag law, both sides of the aisle, whether they're Democratic or Republican. There's a big concern in regards to having a situation go on in a person's life, a divorce or something like that, and the spouse goes to the police department, files a complaint. He has firearms, and then they're taken from him, and then he has to come back and prove that he's a safe individual, that he shouldn't have his firearms taken away from him. And that never really works out the way it's always discussed. It says, oh, you could come back in 14 days. Well, when the rubber meets the road, Does the guy have to get a lawyer? Is that going to be more cost for that individual? How long will that court battle go? Things like that, and that's where people get worried about it. They don't want to see their shotguns and all their firearms being confiscated, and then they have to go there and fight to get them back.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Attorney General Call, what do you think?
Well, first of all, the process that is proposed in this law is one that's really reasonable. So the concerns that somebody, who gets into dispute with somebody might lead to somebody filing a petition. If somebody files a petition and they include a false statement, they would be subject to prosecution for a felony for making a false statement. So there are protections against that. Secondly, again, this process is similar to processes that already exist for things like a domestic violence restraining order. So it's got similar protections. And then third, the person doesn't need to prove that they are somebody who can safely protect possess a firearm. The burden would be on the people seeking to have the firearm removed. And it's a high standard to get the permanent injunction or the 1 year injunction. They would need to establish by clear and convincing evidence that the person, if they possess a firearm, is substantially likely to use it to injure another person. So there are strong protections in place. And as to public support, President Trump came out and said that he supports red flag laws shortly after we had the mass shootings in Dayton and El Paso. And, Marquette Law School polling indicates that about 81% of Wisconsinites support a red flag law. So there is strong support for this. And what we've seen before several acts of gun violence is that there are warning signs. In the case of the shooter in Parkland, there were contacts with law enforcement. This is meant to give law enforcement a tool to intervene when those clear signs of danger are present, and intervening can help prevent an act of violence. It's not meant to be a tool that can be used broadly in all sorts of cases. It would be used in all likelihood in a much more limited fashion, and that's how it's been used in the states where it is on the books.
Thanks for that call, Jerry. We're talking to Attorney General Josh Call right now about the special session held last week to address two new gun control measures in the State Assembly and Senate. Each of those sessions lasted basically less than a minute. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think about last week's special session? What do you think about the idea of expanding background checks to include most private gun sales? How about the idea of a red flag law? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation with State Attorney General Josh Call. He's with us to talk about last week's special session to debate and vote on two gun control bills. Republican leaders in the Assembly and Senate adjourned the sessions quickly without debating the proposed measures. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think about what happened at that brief special session? Do you support the idea of expanding background checks to include more firearm sales from in private transactions? And what about the idea of red flag laws? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1-2-3-4. We'll go back to your calls now. Matthew is with us in St. Croix Falls. Matthew, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So here's my thing is, all right, couple points. There's that kid down in Fenimore or down by Richland Center that shot up the Tenonite or whatever it's called. It wasn't Tenonite. Some sort of explosive with a rifle, and it was like 10 pounds of it. He shouldn't be able to be in the same room as a handgun ever again. I'm a hunter. I'm a fisher. I get it. I like guns, too. But, man, we need to reel this stuff in. There was a woman that shot through the KFC window because her order was wrong.
Matthew, thanks for the call. Matthew making the case, Attorney General Call, that some people should maybe lose their firearm rights permanently for some cases.
Yeah, and there are laws in place that if, for example, if somebody's been convicted of a felony, they are, not permitted in Wisconsin to have access to a firearm. And that's one of the, one of the things about these two changes that I think is important to emphasize is these are, moderate, careful measures that protect Second Amendment rights while also working to make our communities safer. In the case of somebody who's prohibited from possessing a firearm because they've committed a felony, for example, by expanding background checks, what we'd be doing is saying, we want to make sure a background check is conducted before that person or anybody else who's trying to buy a firearm is able to get a firearm. I don't think that person should be able to go online and buy a firearm without going through a background check.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Anthony now in Phelps. Anthony, hi.
Yes. I got a question, a statement about these background checks. The DOJ did a survey, and they found out that 46% of the guns used in crime are straw bought. 46% of the guns used in crime are either stolen or black market. 6% of the guns used are legally bought with background checks by first-time criminals. Less than 2% of the guns are bought without a background check. And if you try to go in, and the DOJ did this online, and tried to sell guns through without background checks, and they were shot down every time they made a contact. This thing about straw buying, a woman in Oklahoma.
Anthony, I'm going to jump in because we don't have a ton of time, but Anthony making the case that, hey, straw guns, stolen guns are a much bigger problem. I don't know about the particular statistics. This is a very small part of the story. He's worried these guns bought that get around background checks, Attorney General Call.
Well, Anthony's right that we do need to make sure that people are not engaging in straw purchases of firearms, and that is a way that crimes with firearms are sometimes committed. And I do think we need to make sure we're enforcing those laws effectively. But from my perspective, that's not a reason not to take what I think is the common sense step of making sure that we are requiring background checks for sales that right now we're not requiring them for. And you know, even if it's a small percentage of firearms crimes where that is how somebody's able to obtain a firearm, if we can save some lives by expanding background checks, I think we need to do that. And again, there are clear examples where people have avoided background checks and gotten guns that they're not allowed to buy that way, such as in the Azana Spa shooting in Brookfield.
Thanks for that call, Anthony. And I should say a straw buyer is someone who can buy a firearm, buying it for somebody who isn't supposed to be able to get it legally. Do we, and Wisconsin, I know, has been trying to tweak its straw buyer legislation for at least a couple decades now. Are there other changes you see, Attorney General Call, when it comes to that straw purchaser buying a gun for someone who shouldn't be able to get one?
Well, I think we always need to make sure that our laws are responding to the kinds of problems that we're facing. But generally speaking, there are clear and strong laws against straw purchases, and those laws should be enforced when people are violating them. And one of the things we do at the Wisconsin Department of Justice is we work to enforce a number of laws, but including laws that deal with illegal possession of firearms. And law enforcement around the state is working hard to make sure that those laws are enforced. But, earlier this year, I did a press conference in Appleton, along with the police chiefs from Appleton and Oshkosh and Wrightsville, as well as some local leaders up there. And, you know, they joined me in calling for red flag laws. As one of the officers pointed out, having an additional tool that law enforcement can use to intervene and try to prevent a tragedy is helpful to them and makes it easier for them to do their jobs of keeping our community safe.
Talking to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. We've been talking about gun laws in Wisconsin. I want to spend our last few minutes, though, Attorney General Call, on a lawsuit that Wisconsin joined in on challenging the Trump administration's so-called conscience rule. They would expand the ability of healthcare workers to refuse to provide certain services on moral or ethical grounds. A judge recently overturned those Trump administration rules. What are your thoughts on what the Trump administration was trying to do there?
Well, Wisconsin was part of that lawsuit, and we're one of the states involved in challenging this Trump administration policy. Wisconsin and many other states already have conscience protections in place so that our public policy balances the ability of patients to get the care that they need with the ability of medical providers to opt out of procedures that they have moral or religious objections to providing. We have a carefully balanced law here. One of the troubles with the Trump administration policy is that it's not carefully balanced. It sweeps very broadly. would at least, as it's written, theoretically allow somebody who's scheduling appointments to opt out of being involved in scheduling appointments if they didn't support the procedure that was being conducted. They wouldn't allow employers, medical providers, to ask about those objections in advance, so somebody at the last minute could decide to opt out, leaving somebody who needs care without ready access to care. And the consequences for a violation of the policy, not only by somebody who's receiving funds from the federal government, but by their subgrantees, are potentially enormous. The federal government could remove all federal funding for certain health programs to the state of Wisconsin. The judge in this case found for a variety of reasons that the Trump administration's policy was unlawful, and it struck it down, and that's a good thing for people who care about reliable access to health care coverage.
Do you anticipate an appeal where this might end up going to the U.S. Supreme Court?
I think it's quite likely that there will be an appeal, and how far it goes in the appeals process remains to be seen. But given how extreme this policy is, and given that there are parts of it that are, as the judge found in the ruling, that are inconsistent with statutes that are on the books, we have very strong legal arguments, and I think we will prevail on appeal.
As we wrap up, do you see any changes in the works for Wisconsin's version of these conscience clauses in just our last few moments?
I haven't heard any advocacy for policy changes on that front. It's one of the reasons that this Trump administration rule is so misguided, is because states have already put in place thoughtful, balanced rules to, again, both protect access to medical care, but also to protect people's rights to opt out of procedures that they're morally opposed to providing. So we have a thoughtful rule in place. The Trump administration rule tries to supersede Wisconsin's rule and the rules of other states and impose a federal solution that, again, is inconsistent with the law and would be bad for people who care about access to reliable healthcare services.
Attorney General Call, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Josh Call, Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin. He joins us to talk about last week's special session on gun control and a recent decision from a federal judge to void a Trump administration conscience clause rule. Wisconsin's one of 23 states, cities, and other entities to file a lawsuit challenging that rule. We'll take a closer look at that topic later on in the show with a Wisconsin healthcare expert and take your calls.